Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, everybody. You've just tuned into The Block with Bryson Warden, broadcasting live in frequency 101.7 CIVL-FM, going out to the Fraser Valley and surrounding areas from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus, Student Union Society building based on the unceded traditional territory of the Stolo people. Today I'm coming at you on April 29th, 2024, and we've got another special episode for you with some new tracks and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we take you over to the latest from Justice. That's right, Hyperdrama is out. Here's the opener from it with Tame Impala, Never Ender, a nice opener to the track or the entire record, and I'll be talking about it after we play this one here. Again, it's Never Ender by Justice and Tame Impala. Enjoy.
I'm not afraid to die.
Okay, so once again, that was Justice with their opener to Hyperdrama, It's Never Ender, featuring Tame Impala or Kevin Parker, mainly on vocals and I guess a little bit of a hand in production on that one there. Having given the record a few spins cover to cover, both just kind of on my introductory listen when it came out at about like Thursday at 9 o'clock in the evening before on Friday, and then just kind of throughout kind of my commute and stuff throughout Friday and even when working out and everything, I will say I'm a big fan of it. I think that I was going into it thinking that it would be very similar, as I do with a lot of kind of releases from Justice and such, but similar to their album Cross back in 2007. The kind of the blending of kind of very heavy sort of sounds and bit crush sort of distortion leading into these very danceable and poppy sort of tracks. We do get that to some extent thanks to singles such as Generator and also Incognito, and you get a little bit of it actually as well through like Muscle Memory. This is a lot more low-key. Tracks such as Explore with Conan Moccasin, as well as Afterimage with Rimon, are really just kind of low-key sort of tracks that like still have sort of that edge to them. It's not necessarily like Random Access Memories from Daft Punk, but at the same time, it's very, very smooth, very kind of almost evocative of kind of what Justice had done on Woman to some degree, with a very sort of kind of danceable and harkening back to kind of disco sort of sound, which is evocative and emblematic, as we can kind of see through kind of them using kind of the French touch sort of sound and just kind of, you know, house stylings and such as well. I think I expected a little bit more from kind of more highlights on this record, aside from the singles being produced, because unfortunately my favorite track still by far would probably be the One Night All Night collaboration with Tame Impala, just the way that track comes in, and the idea that it has this disconcerting sort of atmosphere, despite everything in the track being very kind of positive and very kind of, you know, fun and enjoyable to listen to. It is very disconcerting the way that kind of the chord progression is laid out, and we don't really get that through anything else on the record. It's not that kind of, as I think I described it when I'd first played it on the program, that mad scientist sort of feeling of kind of, you know, blending things that shouldn't really go together to create some sort of unholy concoction. Again, really great record overall, but it's missing that kind of edge that One Night All Night seems to have that was really present on Cross and a couple kind of other records that they've done throughout kind of sporadically. But perhaps after 8 years, people were maybe building this up to be a lot bigger than it might unfortunately have been able to attain. If we think about their kind of previous discography and such, we have Woman in 2016 leading up to this one, but then before Woman, actually before that one, and I'm taking a look here to see the exact dates and such, 2016, and then Audio Video Disco in 2011. So there was only a 5-year gap between those ones there. So I think that it is important to consider that would it even be possible to attain kind of that same highs? Not attain, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, but I think it's important to consider if you're putting up too lofty of a projection on something after a certain amount of time, and instead can just be positive and enjoy what you've been given. And that doesn't mean that you have to enjoy everything that you've been provided by someone when they just give you something randomly, right? Criticism is important, but I think as well that the discussion surrounding a lot of music releases and such just kind of centers on kind of an initial sort of listen, and I think it's important to consider a little bit more after that, as opposed to just, here's the package, I listened to it once at 9 p.m. on a Thursday, and now I'm going to critique it because, oh, it didn't live up to the exact standards. It's not just Cross again. I think that if you go into this with a little bit more of an open mind, and you're also able to kind of dissect and appreciate the music in different contexts as well, I think you'll really find something to love out of Hyperdrama. Again, highlights for me are definitely the singles. Aside from maybe Incognito, wasn't super big on that one. Saturnine with Miguel, again, is a really great track also. And Generator is just, again, that perfect blend of kind of that Cross sound, but again, bringing it into kind of the modern age for this one here. I'd also say that Dear Alan is also a really good one, and Mannequin Love as well is a really fun track. And then also for kind of the slower tracks, Moonlight Rendezvous is a very fun sort of jazz track, and Explore with Conan Moccasin, that's a really good one actually as well. But again, we spun the opener, which is a great way to kick off this record. Really enjoyable, really vibey, if you want to call it that one, showing my age, I guess. This is Never Ender with Justice and Tame Impala coming together on that one there, off of Hyperdrama. Alright, taking over to some more music now, let's take it over to another new release about a month ago. This is Jesafelstein with their track Hard Dreams, featuring Jan Wagner on this one as well. Ready? Here we go.
I can think of anything else.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Block with Bryson Warden. Just came out of another track there, another two tracks. It was Jesuffelstein with their track Hard Dreams featuring Jan Wagner on vocals there. And then finally, it was Elangelo with All In. So Jesuffelstein is someone that you've probably heard of before. They released a few tracks and stuff like that, most notably kind of some collaborations off of My Dear Melancholy with The Weeknd, and then their own kind of self project back in about 2016 or so, featuring again Abel on that one there with Lost in the Fire, alongside that was Hyperion actually in 2019, alongside some cuts with Haim and Pharrell Williams actually as well. This one here is a lot more low-key. Not low-key in terms of like the sound, but low-key in terms of like, you know, not having these big blockbuster named featured artists, because I remember that was a criticism a lot of people, including myself, had about Hyperion coming away from other tracks and stuff that he'd done off of like Aleph, such as, you know, Pursuit and others that are a lot more hard-hitting, a lot more dramatic and such like that as well. Hyperion was a little bit more just kind of middle-of-the-road kind of pop sensibilities and such, which I do think is a hallmark of a good producer, being able to work with an artist to be able to produce something that is, you know, catchy and instantaneously sort of, you know, understandable and enjoyable. But at the same time, Hyperion was just a little bit more kind of softer and just not really what people were wanting from kind of the big breakout record from Jesuffelstein. So this one here, I haven't given a spin through all throughout, but I've heard this one before on kind of some tracks and radio and such as well. And again, really impressed by Hard Dreams. It's a lot more kind of provocative. It's a lot more, it's got that edge that I was talking about that I was hoping the Justice record would have a little bit as well. And again, Jesuffelstein is just really good at creating these kind of soundscapes that are just almost dramatic and just intense and demanding the listener's attention. It's not something that you can just kind of put on in the background. It has to be something where you're kind of instantly caught off guard and you're really paying attention to it as you listen to it. So again, I'm really excited. I'm going to give this one a spin from cover to cover when I get a chance, starting off with Digital Slaves all the way down to Emmett. The kerning on that one isn't really working too well for me. But again, that was track number two, Hard Dreams, with Jan Wagner off of their album Gamma from Jesuffelstein. And then after that, I took you over to Elangelo with their cut All In. So Elangelo, if you're not familiar, he's a producer coming to you from Canada and has worked with multiple artists and multiple kind of storied producers and such as well. Most notably, he's collaborated with The Weeknd, and it was actually a little bit of kind of a, not controversial, I'd say, but just a little bit kind of awkward sort of relationship, because he was a very, very hard hand, or what's the word? Not a heavy hand, but very crucial member kind of in the initial production and such for the mixtapes that Abel had released as a part of Trilogy, such as House of Balloons, Into Echoes of Silence, and Thursday actually as well. But then he would kind of step away from kind of producing for Abel, aside from kind of one or two things here, while Abel began to rise up and really do a lot more sort of work with The Weeknd, before coming back after apparently he collaborated a little bit off of Beauty Behind the Madness, which is interesting. I didn't actually know that. But he would come back again, producing multiple tracks off of After Hours in 2020, most notably the title track, which a lot of people began to really kind of resonate with actually as well, with him being, I believe, one of the main kind of people alongside Tahila and a couple other people as well. But again, he's done some work on his own kind of solo production. And something I didn't know actually as well is that he's worked with Grimes for I Wanna Be Software, which is interesting. That being said, this track here, All In, it's a little bit more kind of a progressive sort of track, a little bit more kind of dance track actually as well. So, I mean, of course it's a dance track, but it's a little bit more of kind of a progressive sort of trance track actually as well, compared to the work that he would be doing with The Weeknd back in 2011, kind of that haunted sort of trap house sort of sound and stuff that would be there. But again, really good to see him still working and still making some hits and stuff actually as well. And hopefully we'll see something new coming from like a new album or something as well in the future. But again, that was Elangelo with their cut All In, released back on the 17th of April. And to close out this little section before we go into some events and information in the Fraser Valley, let's take you on over to one of Elangelo's tracks that he produced back in 2011. This is the title track, House of Balloons, alongside Glass Table Girls. A little bit of a content advisory for this one here, because, again, deals with, glass tables and such, and drug paraphernalia and everything like that, so just gonna throw that one out there. But again, this is off of House of Balloons in 2011. This is House of Balloons, Glass Table Girls by The Weeknd, with production from Elangelo all the way back in 2011. Hope you guys enjoy this one, and I will see you after the break for some events and information going on in the Fraser Valley. Uh. Looking for some of CIVL and other networks' best programming to listen to wherever and whenever you'd like? Hey! Then look no further than the Chill Rose Radio Network, available on all major podcasting platforms. Catch episodes of Chill Rose Radio with DJ Darko, the Earshot 20 Countdown, the SUSU Podcast with Stephen and Casey, and of course, The Block with Bryce and Warden, all in one place. New episodes are added weekly, so search for Chill Rose Radio Network on your platform of choice and listen wherever and whenever you would like. It's all happening on Chill Rose Radio. Going now to some more music, back with another new release. Here's Chance the Rapper with his cut Buried Alive, coming off of hopefully the upcoming Starline Gallery. Going to be playing this one, and then I'll talk about it for a little bit if you guys don't mind. But again, here's Buried Alive from Chance the Rapper. Enjoy.
I was in a dark space between a rock and a hard place. Knew I was alive when my heart raced. Buried alive, but very alive. They be very surprised, find out Harry survived. The boy who lived got tied up from marrying, trying to ride off into the sunset with nary goodbye. Shot him off his high horse, ate his American pie, called out his arrogant lies, tossed him in a hole in middle nowhere you never could find. Where's his money now? Where his wife at? Where his manager? Where his hype at? Then they threw the dirt on the casket and into the hunt for the baby in the basket. Nobody Moses, alone with the mallet. That's when the pen turned the stone to a tablet. Jailbreak stylus, I chiseled like Shawshank. I fought for my life, Ray Gibson, Claude Banks. My ideas turned the cage in a shark tank. Tears over war paint, gotta give the Lord thanks. Walking through the desert, same mighty sword. Not yet tired, but I might be sore. I was in a dark space. My mind was playing tricks like Scarface. My pen strong like a one-inch punch. I ate all they cornbread, they don't want they lunch. I was in a dark place, it was me and my pen. None of my friends, none of my kin. None of my weapons, one of my limbs, one of my arms. I made a beat with my elbow first. Then my fist started knocking like the bell don't work. And my palm was the pen from that one fable. The old legendary story of the lunch table. Then I kicked the technique that was so fatal. It went fall down Babylon, Jericho, Dagon. Melt every wall in the dungeon, drag on. We was in a dark place, now the light's back on. I just needed something I could rap on. Right then and there, the roof caved, quick rubble stone. The kid kicked another hole, the dirt filled another hole. A pen in the hand of a hero with rose. Clenched fist clawing its way out the highs and the lows.
So again, that was Chance the Rapper with their latest Buried Alive, hopefully coming a part of the upcoming, soon-to-be-released Starline Gallery, as kind of teased towards the close of the record there, or the close of the track there in the video, where it has Starline on it there. And he's been teasing that one quite a lot recently. There is a lot to be said about Chancellor Bennett in the past few years and such, ever since the release of The Big Day back in 2019, and basically everything that kind of spawned from that record coming out. But I think the seeds of that actually were planted back in 2016 with Coloring Book, because it was the first time, and the dog above agrees with me, that an artist kind of had their fan base really take a different look to them as a result of kind of, I mean, maybe not the first time, obviously, there's like stylistic changes and such from anybody, you know, can look into the 2000s, like the Metallica and their changes and stuff, even with the Black Album. That's an example I'm just pulling from the top of my head. But I always find this one interesting because we have an artist who, in 2013, you know, it all stems back to Acid Rap, where, you know, he's just wild, just, you know, rapping like, you know, as people would describe, as Rent is due. He's, you know, doing amazing sort of flows and everything. The production is great. But the lyrical content on the record was something like Paranoia, which is a hidden track actually off of Push a Man, you know, showing the duality between the idea of like parading around this paraphernalia and drugs and such like that, and then the actual effects of it and systemic violence and just low socioeconomic status on individuals living in this sort of thing, and how basically he's not in a good place. So then listening to Coloring Book, you can see through tracks such as like Same Drugs and such that he is moving into a better place and he's having to leave some of that stuff behind. But despite the fact that his fan base that grew up with kind of, you know, this as their hallmark, acid rap, are really, you know, wanting him to go back to it. And with the release of The Big Day, and again, say what you want about that record and everything, I think that there are, admittedly, 5 years out, I still think that there are high points on that record. You know, I Got You, Always and Forever with En Vogue. It's actually a really good one. I do like parts of All Day Long, even if I think it's silly. Big Fish with Gucci Mane is actually a really enjoyable track as well. I think that just writing the whole thing off as just, you know, I love my wife is a little bit kind of rudimentary to it. But the criticism also was understandable for tracks such as like Hot Shower. But again, like DaBaby hadn't really popped off at that point. And, you know, again, that would be another artist that would kind of pop off and then fall to obscurity because, you know, he asked people to put their cell phone lighters up. And we're not going into that today. But again, you can see that kind of style and stuff be made way more popular after, you know, being on this record here. So listening to Buried Alive and going into it, a lot of people had the impression of, oh, this is it. He's going back into acid rap and everything. And I was expecting, you know, it to sound like acid rap with kind of the, you know, what is it, Social House and everything, you know, Social Experiment sort of sound and everything to it, and just the trumpets and everything and horns and everything like that. But also lyrically, harkening back into that darker place, perhaps. But this isn't that at all. This is still him being, you know, positive, and it hits still the same hallmarks as people criticized him for. It's just, we're revealing the real issue that people had. But, you know, like, for instance, there's lyrics on this one here. Where is it specifically where he's referencing, you know, biblical scripture and such through coming to Christ on Coloring Book and kind of through that as well? Lyrics like, it went fall down Babylon, Jericho, Dagon, melt every wall in the dungeon, Dragon. That's something that could be reminiscent of something off of Coloring Book, but it's just, it's presented here in a similar format that people are more expecting to it. I always feel like I'm on the odd end of the stick with this one here, in my opinion of Chance, because I do think, you know, obviously he fell off in terms of popular culture and everything, but at the same time, I don't think a lot has really changed. And I think the main thing that people are saying, oh, he's back and everything, is because he went through a divorce. And I think if that's really your only basis for someone being able to make music that you're able to personally relate to, I think it's just disingenuous, personally. I do. I think that that's not a happy thing to be parading around and be super positive about. I think that, yeah, his reaction to The Big Day's sort of lack of, you know, commercial reception and stuff, despite being met critically in sort of middling to even well, you know, aside from one guy in a red flannel, I think that that was not necessarily the right sort of reaction to have to a fan base. But if everybody's making fun of you because you're celebrating your success and, you know, actually enjoying life compared to where you were at the start of the decade, being addicted to drugs and basically not knowing who you are and, you know, coming up in the world and everything and collaborating with big artists, yay, but still not in a very good place emotionally or, you know, healthily, I think you have a right to be a little bit like, what are you doing? Like, that's not okay. And I think people that are now celebrating the fact that like, oh yeah, his life is falling apart around him, he's buried alive, he's gonna go back to making good music, I think that's not really a good thing to have as a fan of an artist. And it makes me wonder if you're really a fan of that artist, or if you're just a fan of being able to be in the same boat as someone who's suffering. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a value in being able to relate to someone that is going through something. It's the reason why, you know, in the 90s we had like the whole grunge movement and the idea of moving away from everything being pristine and poppy to artists such as Nirvana with Kurt Cobain being a hallmark, landmark sort of representation of that, being able to relate to someone who's going through some emotional turmoil. But at the same time, if you ask any Nirvana fan, you know, what do you think? Do you think you'd rather have Kurt Cobain alive today? Or, you know, how things have gone out, I think most people would probably choose the former. Because if they choose the latter, well, I don't know what to say. Maybe they're a big Foo Fighters fan, with respect to Dave Grohl, who would definitely choose the former than the latter. I've just never been a fan of it. I think overall, the track itself, Buried Alive, is fine. It's not really the best work that Chance has ever done, in all honesty. I'd prefer, you know, tracks like Always and Forever off of The Big Day. But I definitely prefer tracks off of Acid Rap and also Coloring Book as well, because he sounds more positive and it sounds more as though this is the music that he's desiring to make. And what I'm really hoping from Starline Gallery is he's not just trying to attract these sycophants who just wanted to see him fail back into his music by, I don't know, rapping fast and having deep things again. I want the acid rap where he's rapping on Acid Rain, where it's more introspective and it's more likening his circumstance and where he is currently, while also pleading to God for some salvation. I don't want a Chance the Rapper that's suddenly like, oh yeah, I'm suddenly doing this and I'm going to rap very intensely and everything, and people are going to like that because, you know, I'm in a sad place, right? I don't want that. I don't want disingenuous. I want to see where you are as a person, and hopefully that person is doing okay. And just to hammer my point home, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to play an artist twice on the program. I know, crazy, right? I'm going to be playing Acid Rap's Acid Rain, because this is one of my favorite tracks of all time. And the amount of times that I've driven to this track late at night and not been in a good headspace emotionally, and now I am married, and now I have a home, and I have a cat, and my life is going pretty good, so maybe I'd make my own The Big Day. Maybe that's why I personally kind of understand that record. But here's Acid Rain, and I really want you to take a listen to the genuineness of this one here, and just the position that Chancellor Bennett was in on Acid Rap, and just think if it's the right idea to put acid in his drink again to, you know, make him make good music again. Just thinking about that for a second.
Kicked off my shoes, tripped acid in the rain. Wore my jacket as a cape and my umbrella as a cane. The richest man rocks the snatchless necklace. Spineless bitches in backless dresses. Wore my feelings on my sleeveless. My weed seedless, my trees leafless. I miss my diagonal grilled cheeses. And back when Mike Jackson was still Jesus. Before I believed in not believing in. Yeah, I inhale, who believed in me not breathing in? Cigarette stained smile, all covered in sin. My big homie died young, just turned older than him. I seen it happen, I seen it happen, I see it always. He still be screaming, I see his demons in empty hallways. I tripped to make the fall shorter. Fourth quarter was just a tall order. And I'm hungry, I'm just not that thirsty. As of late, all my verses seem not so versy. And all my words just mean controversy. Took the team up off my back like that's not your jersey. Stressing, pulling my hair out, hoping I don't get picked. All this medicine in me, hoping I don't get sick. Making all of this money, hoping I don't get rich. Cause niggas still getting bodied for phones. Sometimes the truth don't rhyme. Sometimes the lies get millions of views. Funerals for little girls, is that appealing to you? From your cubicle, desktop, what a beautiful view. I think love is beautiful too. Building forts from broken dams, what a Hoover could do for future hoopers. Dead from Ruger, shooting through the empty alley. Could've threw him an alley-oop, helping them do good in school. Damn, that acid burn when it clean, yeah. I still miss being a senior and performing at all those open mic events. Eyes closed, eyes closed, seeing arenas. And I still get jealous of Vic, and Vic still jealous of me. But if you touch my brother, all that anti-violence shit goes out the window along with you and the rest of your team. Smoking cigarettes to look cooler. I only stop by to look through ya. And I'm only getting greedier. And I'm still Mr. U Media. And I still can't find talent. And I'm still choosing classmates that wouldn't fold. Mom still thinks I should go back to school. And Justin still think I'm good enough. And Mama Jan still don't take a meds. And I still be asking God to show his face. And I still be asking God to show his face. I am a new man. I am sanctified. Oh, I am holy. I have been baptized. I have been born again. I am the white light. Rain, rain, don't go away. Bow, wow, wow, wow. Bow, 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 wow,
I think this track just highlights for me the difference between what we've heard with Buried Alive compared to where he was previously, and even parts of the Big Day, though, he kind of slipped into that same cadence and such, where again, it just feels more genuine off of this here because of the place that he's in. And perhaps, you know, people saying, oh yes, like, these negative things are going to allow him to go back to that, but I hope that he doesn't continue to fall in the same cadence and such, because that was the primary issue I had with the Big Day, is the lack of, you know, spontaneity and genuineness that was present on Acid Rap and Coloring Book, very diverse records, where it is present somewhat on, you know, the Big Day, but at the same time, it's lacking a lot because it does kind of fall into the same stylistic trends and trappings that would be popular at the time, leading him to just kind of get swallowed by the industry in a way. I hope that it's more, you know, dynamic and everything, and is able to highlight positives and negatives instead of just being a one-note sort of record. And we'll just have to wait and see, I suppose. So take it as you will. I think that there's a benefit to an artist being able to go back to where they were and do an evaluation, but I just hope that this isn't the sad record, and then everybody immediately labels this as the greatest record of all time that he's ever done, because I feel that's disingenuous to the artistic trajectory and just career as a point. I do have high hopes for Chance. I think that he is able to hit these high marks of Acid Rap and Coloring Book once again. But at the same time, I just hope that people don't hear someone that's sad and immediately think it's a classic and give it a 10 out of 10 because someone isn't in their best place emotionally. But again, that was Buried Alive by Chance the Rapper. And then following that up, I gave you Acid Rain from Chance the Rapper as well, nearly a decade prior to Buried Alive. You got time for one last track, so I'm going to take it easy for you, and I'm going to give you Chances by K-Tronada. Hope you guys enjoy this one, just to finish us up with a Canadian artist. I will see you guys next week for the first episode in May, on May 6th, 2024. Thank you once again for stopping on by our little program here on CIVL, and I'll see you guys next week, May 6th. Thank you, and goodbye.